If you'd open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, one that we're very, very familiar with. Have you ever just take time and while you're sitting down, think about how old you're getting? It is nice because at least you're still thinking about it and it hasn't already come to an end, amen? I was just thinking, I've been saved for 47 years, and I've seen a lot of changes. I mean, I remember when I first got saved at 21, how everything, I was not brought up in church or anything, and how everything was completely new. The old hymns that were still old back then were all completely new to me. And, I mean, I was listening into Judas Priest and Ozzy Osbourne. I was into the whole different lifestyle. And when I got saved, this was all new stuff and exciting things. And I started thinking that we got missionaries that I remember, what is a missionary? And I didn't know anything. And I remember meeting missionaries and they'd come for conferences and you would build lifetime relationships with them. And then we now support a missionary that's not able to be here during this time, the Bennetts, we support them. And Jonia Bennett, her grandpa was the first missionary that I ever met. Third generation, and it's exciting to see that the generations are passing down the faith and it's still going on with the next generations. Last Wednesday, we had a visitor come in and I was talking with John before the services started and this guy comes walking down the aisle toward me and I look at John and said, who's this guy? And I didn't know who he was. And he comes walking up and he starts telling me everything about myself. Everything about myself. And I said, okay, I perceive that you know me or you're stalking me. Huh? So he starts giving me clues who he is. He knew where I was when I got saved. He knew my wild lifestyle from testimonies. He knew everything about me. I'm thinking, who is this guy? I'm looking over at Althea and she's just grinning at me like, figure it out yourself, you know. Come to find out, when I was in Bible college, he was one of the students there. He was the youngest. He was 20 years old. He was 145 pounds soaking wet and real blonde white hair and just a real humble, nice young man. And now I see this guy who had lost things up here and gained things down here. And I could not recognize him. Now, I know that he recognized me because I haven't changed for 47 years. That's what we think sometimes. I mean, we used to do Bible studies with Tim and Rachel and all these young single adults, and they'd be, you know, they'd all leave at that night on Tuesday night. They'd all leave, and you think, man, this looks great. And you walk in, you look in the mirror, whoa! I thought I was with a bunch of young people, and you're assuming that you're going to look young like them. You know, it doesn't happen that way. And I just think we need to realize that our time is passing through the sands of time. And we don't know when it ends. And we don't know that how much opportunity we have left to share the gospel, the good tidings of good things to the people that we love, the people that we rub shoulders with. Those days are passing. The opportunities will fade. When we get to heaven, we'll be able to sing the praises of our Savior. When we get to heaven, we'll still continue to enjoy sweet, sweet fellowship. We'll still be able to hear the words, but this time not just from the reading of the Scripture, but from Christ Him. All those things will continue, but you'll never have another opportunity to share the gospel with a lost person. And if you've ever led anybody to Christ, ever, it is a glorious, exciting thing. I received a letter this year from a member where I was at Fair Park before we came over here. And it was quite a lengthy letter, handwritten. They don't even do that anymore. And she was just letting me know, I just want to sit down and write this and thank you that over the years that you were here at Fair Park, that you personally led 17 of my family members to Christ. And I was just, she started writing them all down. I said, I remember. Seven of them at one time. And I was just excited. I'm just thinking, those people, according to Scripture, are our joy and crown when we stand before God. So don't sit idle. You have good news from a far country that offers hope and salvation, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will there be anyone in heaven because of you? We have gospel tracks. That track rack should be constantly having to be filled. And it does sometimes, but not enough. I'm very much in the gospel tracks. We had a missionary years ago when I first got saved who was a druggie. He was like me, who's at a rock concert and somebody just passing out tracts in the middle of a rock concert. They're in suits and ties and they're all, you know, long hair. And he goes, I just remember reaching up. My guy was standing there and he handed me something. I put it in my pocket, went home. He goes, I was so high I couldn't even go to sleep that night. Reached in my pocket to grab my pack of Marlboros to smoke a cigarette to kind of settle down. And when I did, he goes, this piece of paper came out. He goes, I didn't know it was a gospel tract. He goes, I begin to read that thing. He goes, I put my cigarette out. He goes, God convicted me that I was a sinner. You don't even have to be there. If you can get the Word of God into their hand and they read it, God can get it into their heart and the Holy Spirit does the rest of the work. And he was converted that day. He goes, the only thing is that tract did not have a stamp of the church name on it. I didn't know who it was. He goes, that was Friday night, Saturday morning. He goes, I went to churches around my neighborhood asking people when I would catch them, hey, do you guys believe what this says? He goes, I went to the first two churches. They said, no, we don't believe that way. He goes, so I left. He goes, because I knew what God had done in my heart. He goes, I come to the third church. He goes, it was a small independent Baptist church. That's what I know of now. I didn't know it then. I asked the pastor that was there. He goes, do you guys believe this? He goes, absolutely believe everything. He goes, he told him what had happened. He got baptized. He got discipled. And he surrendered to be a missionary, him and his wife. And they went to the UK. Went to the UK. He goes, now think of this. He goes, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. And he goes, and here comes this guy who I don't know. And the Lord introduces me to him, and it's the guy that handed me that gospel tract. And he tells that guy that gave me the gospel tract, he goes, that night when you were at that concert, you remember that? Yeah, and you were handing out God's word. Yeah, you remember that? Yeah. He goes, you might have thought nothing ever came from it. This one man got saved. He was called to be a missionary, and look at all these souls that he led to the Lord because of your faithful obedience. I think there's going to be a whole lot of those stories. A lot of them. Will they be a part of yours and mine? We have family members that we are wanting to get to heaven, but we're being so entangled by the cares of this life that there's no urgency in it. Matthew chapter 28, it's familiar. Beginning in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Based upon that statement, he tells them, go ye therefore. Based upon that statement, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Wow. Every Christian, as we get into this lesson today, we're going to talk about God's plan of world evangelization. God's plan of world evangelization. And every Christian ought to be thoroughly familiar with the great missionary command here in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts 1:8. The list could go on. There is a thrust. God had this plan before the foundation of the world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's proclaiming that he is the only Savior to mankind in the Old Testament as well as in the New. These words that are spoken by our Lord himself constitute his divine plan. This is his blueprint. This is his idea. And thank God for it, because if he wouldn't have come up with it, we'd be men most miserable. We would be men without hope. Understand that this is Jesus's, to the 11, his parting command. His parting command to his followers. It is during this dispensation, what we call the dispensation of grace. We are still in the dispensation of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So he gives it to the 11 in the dispensation of grace. We are still in that dispensation, that time frame, which means this carries over to you and me. As he gives it to them, he is giving it to us as a reminder again today. And this is not the first time, if you've been in church at any length of time, this is not the first time you've ever heard this verse of Scripture shared or read. But how easy it is for us to let it go in and go back out. How easy it is to be in a church service and be even convinced that we need to do this, but not become a conviction to carry it out. This verse of Scripture is just as binding upon us today as it was for Peter, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, and Simon Zelotes. Judas is not here. Stop and think for just a minute. I talk about how we sit down and think about our aging and how things are going in our life and those areas. Understand, generations of souls have lived and have died between the disciples and us here on this day in 2026, August 9th, and have gone out into eternity, and the majority of them probably without trusting Christ and maybe not even hearing the gospel, who might have even been working side by side Christians or in a Christian home and never got this clear, and many of them probably heard it and rejected it. But many have gone. They've been here, and now they're gone. And yet, many times, Christians are failing to carry out this command. Right now, you are already knowing whether you're one of those or not. Not because of anything I've said, but you know whether you're doing it or not. Whether you're sowing the seeds of the Word. The seed is the Word of God. I think we need to have a vision today of what it means by all the world. What does it mean by every creature? Our responsibility is for us to reach those that are around us. There are people that I have as neighbors that you don't have that I'm accountable for, and vice versa. There are people that you work with that I'm not accountable for. You are, and there's people that I work with that the same thing. We have this area that God has divinely placed us for a reason. It's not just to have a new home or to have this or that. It's because there are souls that are surrounding us on every side. We have courses on evangelism. And there are good courses in Bible college on evangelism, but we need to understand that there's evangelism, and then there's a course that's called personal evangelism that reminds us that we are accountable to God one day on those that he put around us. Imagine had Noah never warned anybody. Well, it doesn't matter. Nobody listened to him anyway. That's not the issue. His goal was to make available to them a place. that would bring about their deliverance. They have to make the ultimate decision to go and to believe, to enter in. I want us to look at a couple of things here this morning. I'm going to try to keep this on proper time. All right? The first thing we want to see as we consider this God's plan for world evangelization here is the plan for preaching the gospel to every creature is the Lord's. The plan for preaching the gospel to every creature is the Lord's. God's love extends to the whole of mankind. For God so loved the world. The world is not just the globe he's talking about. He's talking about the people that make it. Just like the church is not the building, it's the individuals in it. So you could say God so loved Kevin Heimer. God so loved Rusty Means. God, and we can go on and put our names in there. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten son. He proved his love by giving his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have embraced everlasting life. And I love, we always jump into that one and we leave out verse 17, but verse 17 says, for God sent not his son. He didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. He didn't send Jesus to condemn Kevin Heimer. Kevin Heimer was already under condemnation. For he sent not his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him, that Kevin Heimer through him might be saved. That's the love of God. And we're not many times sharing it. His love extends to all mankind, all people, to all the whosoever's, so that that whosoever can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2, and he, talking about Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. Aren't you glad for that? That verse doesn't end there. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Are you saved today? Say amen. He goes, he paid you, he covered, your sins are in full, you have eternal glory in heaven with Jesus Christ. He goes, he didn't do it, just do it for you. He did it for you so that you can go share. By the way, it was for someone who shared the gospel with me that got saved. So there has to be somebody that's passing it on. The church in every generation is commissioned by Christ to evangelize the world in their generation. We're not responsible for the generation of Noah's days. We're not even responsible for the generation of the disciples. We're not even responsible for the generation of our grandparents, but we are responsible for our generation. David, King David says that he ministered to his generation. There's a starting point and an ending point. God's appeal to mankind is still an appeal for all the world. I've made mention that this has been his heart's desire since the Old Testament even. Isaiah 45, if you're taking notes, Isaiah 45, 22, a very familiar verse where God the Father is speaking and he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. There is none else. There's no one else coming, folks. The plan for preaching the gospel to every creature is the Lord's. Number two, the responsibility for preaching the gospel to every creature is upon every Christian. Now, I asked just a few minutes ago, how many of you are Christians? Say amen, and we heard a lot of amens. That places you in this category now. Personal responsibility. The marching orders that God gives us in Matthew 28, Mark 16 are just as binding upon us as they were the apostles. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 5:19 to the church at Corinth. He says, to wit or to witness that God, listen, that God was in Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Folks, I am no longer guilty in God's eyes. Once I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he took my sins, my trespasses, and he imputed them to the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for Kevin Heimer. The moment I said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, all of my guilt and all of my shame, the penalty was death upon Kevin Heimer, was lifted and placed upon Jesus as he hung on the cross. Instantaneously. But it didn't stop there. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And he immediately took that, transferred it, we call it imputation, he transferred it to the cross and took Jesus' righteousness, his right standing before the Father, and imputed or transferred that to my account and yours as well. Why would we not share that? Come see a man who told me all ever that I did. She left her water pot. No longer living in shame, she's been forgiven. Come see a man who told me all ever. Is this not the Christ? Immediately. You don't go to Bible college. You don't have to be. You're telling your own personal testimony of what great things God has done for you. That's what he told the maniac. Go tell them what great things that God has done for you. The responsibility for preaching the gospel is to every creature, is upon every single one of us. Are you sharing? Are you discharging your responsibility? Are you obeying the words of Christ? Number three, the need for preaching the gospel to every creature is very great. It was great when the Lord initiated it, because there was just a handful of believers at that time. I want to tell you, I think it's as great or even greater today because of the size of our population. Today, as of yesterday, the estimated population is currently 8.3 billion people. That's 8.3 billion souls that will head off into eternity, heaven or hell, nothing between. One of our mission conferences when I was first saved that got me was our church was a huge mission-giving church. Their annual budget just on missions was back in 1980s was over $500,000 back then. And they one time had a thing up on the platform that was constantly ticking. It was actually called the death rate calculator. You could rent these things. And the moment that our conference started, that thing was turned on and was running. And every time you came back each night, you could see how many people had gone off into eternity while we are sitting in air-conditioned pews hearing the good news. As of today, as of, I should say, yesterday, when I was doing some checking, between 150,000 and 174,000 people go off into eternity annually. Annually. Every 24 hours of every day. I take that back. I need to make a correction here. I can't read my own writing. 150,000 to 174,000 people die every 24 hours. Not annually, every 24 hours. That changes it, doesn't it? That means that there are, by the time we get done with this service, from the first time that I read Scripture until we close just this service, not the afternoon lunch, not the afternoon service, there will be between 6,000 and 7,200 people that will go off into eternity just for this service. That means there's 100 to 120 people that are closing their eyes for the last time in this life every single minute. The need for preaching the gospel to every creature is very great. By the time when we go back to last week when we started our August month missions, until we close it out with Brother Don Smith with Beams Bibles, who gives out Bibles to missionaries at no charge. By the time we start and finish this month, between 4.65 and 5.39 million people will be gone. They will have passed into eternity. Some being comforted as Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, enjoying the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And yet many will close their eyes for the last time in this life and will open them up being in torment. I don't know, do you believe in a real literal hell with literal fire? One preacher said he was going to his dentist one day, he goes, and his dentist was a Jehovah's Witness. And he goes, and I'd witness to him, and he goes, and then he would always have the advantage. He'd get me sit back in the chair, he'd open up my mouth, he goes, I couldn't talk, and he would begin talking to me. He goes, I'll never forget, he told me, you know, preacher, if I believed that there was a literal hell where people went and spent eternity, he goes, I'd be out every single day warning people. He goes, is that what your church is doing? He goes, it brought such conviction. How do we declare we believe these eternal truths and do nothing about it? There are millions of people in the world today who need to hear that Christ died for the ungodly. Number four. The period for preaching the gospel to every creature, and I've alluded to this, is limited. It's limited. Jesus said in John 4, verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. He says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus himself said, understanding he had a limited time. And he says in John 9, 4, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for night cometh when no man can work. The opportunity to talk to your siblings, the opportunity to talk to your aunts and uncles, the opportunity to get right with family members so that you could have a witness again, to talk with your spouse, to talk with your neighbors, to talk with your close friends. And you go on, it's coming to an end. You are now one day closer to finishing your course here. Our salvation, the Bible says, is nearer than when we first believed. Opportunities to witness are getting less and less and less. And that's not even figuring out what happens if you believe that the rapture takes you out, and then that's even shorter. We don't even know. The thing is it's limited at best. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he told them something very important. He tells them to awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. Shame. Shame on you. You're so busy in being living in sin and fulfilling the lust of the flesh that people are dying without even knowing, having a knowledge that you can share with them. He goes, it's a shame. I would have to agree. God help us. How urgent is the need for preaching the gospel? Number five. the methods. The methods for preaching the gospel to every creature are varied. We have increased literacy in our world from what it used to be back in the days of the apostles. We have the advanced technologies. Incredible. Incredible. I can type into a little cheap thing and ask a question, and even a deep theological question, and within, I've tried even counting 1001, and before I almost sometimes get out to 1001, boom, it's zipped out everything that I'm looking for. Incredible day in which we're living. And by the way, whether it's our phones or our computers, the Bible says there's nothing evil of itself. It's what we use it for. But the methods for preaching the gospel to every creature are varied. Speedier. Travel. Evangelism. The internet, where you can put the gospel out there and it just goes worldwide. But there are three methods by which God's people can actually do the work effectively. These things have to be in it. Number one, you have to be willing to first pray. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says something. Jesus actually gives a prayer request. Sometimes we have our prayer request. Jesus has one. He says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. He reminds them that the work is great, but the laborers are few. He says, start praying that God would move upon the hearts of my people to go out with courage and boldness, holding forth the words of life. So you have to be willing to pray the Lord of the harvest. Secondly, you have to be willing to give. To give. Ever since I got saved, I came out of a very, as I made mention, missions or whatever, we came out of a very giving church. So we learned to give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully, you can expect bountiful returns. That's scripture. That's not preaching a prosperity gospel. That's just God's word and his promise. Solomon was very bountiful, and David in the temple. We saw that Wednesday night. Over in our day and age, it was over $1 trillion just in the temple. And I'm not talking about being extravagant. I'm just talking about understanding the need for supporting church planters that have to go out and being a part of that. I might not be able to go, but if I help somebody to go, whatever happens in their area, and they get rewarded or credited by God, it goes to your account as well. He that plants is nothing, and he that waters, but God that gives the increase. We are laborers together with one another, but we are ultimately laborers together with God. I know for us, this is only our own selves, but we always seek to do more this year than we did last year. We always want to be doing more, more, more. I want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding wet in the work of the Lord. So there's a need of prayer. We even offer that we have some down here. We have the USA prayer maps. We have world prayer maps that every single day, that today's the 9th, you would be praying for this state or states in our United States for God to do a work and send forth laborers and bind the strong man so that he can spoil his house, remove the blinders of the unbelieving that Satan placed on them so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. We pray every single day for our nation, state by state, as well as a nation as a whole. We pray for countries around the world. We're right now in the area up in Greenland, Iceland, and some of those areas of the UK. And then the third way is if you're not just praying and you're not just giving, you can just say, Lord, just in case. I know I'm young, too young. I know I'm too old. I know I've got limitations. I know I'm not gifted. But just in case you can use me, here am I. I want you to know I'm available. I know of a pastor who graduated from seminary. He felt that God had called him to the mission field. I could call him by name, and the majority of you would know him. Some of you might like him. Some of you might not like him. That's not the issue. He felt God had called him to the mission field, and as he was making preparation from graduation, God shut the doors every single time. And God moved upon him to plant a church. He planted a church in California. The man says he saw that his plans were short for what God's plans were. His plan was, I'm going to go, and my family, we're going to go to this country. We're going to reach these people. He goes, God had me stay home. And he goes, and we saw this church grow and grow and grow and grow. And he goes, and we have given millions of dollars to missions. And God says, you can do more if you'll just stay here, send out missionaries, support them, and continue. He goes, you'll do more for the gospel here than you would if you just went by yourself. Sometimes we have to understand God's ways are not our ways. I remember Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the angels on each side are crying out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And they come and they touch him, and he's cleansed. And finally, God's talking in the Trinity. Who's going to go for us? And Isaiah's just in his, Lord, here am I. I'm available. Send me. God is always looking for volunteers who will be surrendered. Have you told him that you're willing? The reward for preaching the gospel to every creature is very great. First off, there is the immediate reward of seeing this person call upon God. I remember the first person I led to the Lord, we were at a McDonald's. We were almost completely under the golden arches. The guy that I worked with, strung out on drugs, and I'd witnessed to him, and I'd witnessed to him, and I witnessed to him, and one day he was so strung out, he was about ready to be fired. He was on a cocaine high and couldn't come down off of that thing. And they're talking to work. If he doesn't come in by the end of this week, they're going to let him go. And one day I'm out. I come in on a Saturday, and we're at the church. We went out doing outreach, and all of a sudden the pastor's wife comes out. She says, Brother Heimer. I said, yes. She goes, a guy named Tim Mahoney called, and your wife, and he needs you to call him. The guy hadn't eaten for days. So I told him, meet me at McDonald's. We'll get something in your belly. And there, he goes, you know, all that time you were showing me all those verses. He goes, I knew it was true. He goes, I need Christ. And I remember that day, him bowing his head and calling upon God. That first person that God allows you to minister to the gospel and see them trust Christ. It's glorious reward. And then the ones throughout the years and the different settings that they're in. They will always be in glory because you shared the good news. That's a reward. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalm 126:6. But you know, I think there's even eternal rewards that continue on. Daniel tells us in the book of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that, listen, turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. Have you ever thought about the brightness of a star that is reaching through our galaxies every single night and making its presence known? How far that came, how bright that has to be where it's at to reach us. He says, Daniel says, you'll shine like that in glory. forever and ever. The equipment for preaching the gospel to every creature is promised. If we were to turn, but we're familiar with it, we'd go to the book of Acts. The disciples are being obedient. They've been in the upper room waiting for the promise. They've had prayer meetings, and it's men and women, young and old. Jesus' mom is even there, Mary. And they've been praying and waiting and praying and waiting. And then the power of the Holy Spirit came down. What a day that would have been. It comes down upon them. Every single one. And he says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And because of that, ye shall be. This is the what flows from that. It's going to happen, witnesses unto me. How can we be filled with the Spirit and not be overflowing in our witness? It's a contradiction. Are you willing to be what the Lord wants you to be? Am I? Are you willing to do what the Lord wants you to do? Am I? Are you willing to go where the Lord wants you to go? Am I? If you're willing to do those three things, he's offered the equipment, and it's the Holy Spirit. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And the Bible says he's given us the word of reconciliation. We have the word. We have the Spirit. We just have to have the go ye. Are you willing? If you're willing, let him know. If you're going to continue to just live the mediocre Christian life, which the Bible calls that lukewarm. Especially in the days in which we're living, when you can look around and see the changes are drastically happening nationally, globally. If that doesn't change you, I don't know that anything else can. Except maybe you yourself need to be converted. Let a man examine himself to prove he is in the faith. Know ye not? He goes, check it out. Examine. Lest you be a reprobate. God help us. Amen. Let's get serious for God. Our time is limited, but we have the equipment to carry it out speedily. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I come before thee today with an urgency in my spirit that I believe that you put there, and that we all see that there is a great need. We all, every one of us, know individuals, friends and families and even strangers that we don't know that need to hear the good news. May we always be loaded with scripture tracts to leave somewhere, even if we don't get to talk to them. But may we share our testimony. People can argue with Scripture. They can't argue about a man's testimony of his changed life. People are watching us. They're reading us. You said that we are living epistles known and read by all men. What are they reading about us? What are they seeing in our life? Is it something that they would desire? That when men ask of you of the hope, are we having people ask us anything about our faith? God, help us. Help us to become yielded. Help us to become emptied. If a man saves his life, he's going to lose it. But if a man loses his life for your sake, he says the same will save it. We don't want to just have cardboard Christianity, prop up lifestyles. We want genuine Holy Spirit-filled lives, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, fighting the good fight of faith, holding forth the words of life. Forgive us where we have fallen short. Revive us now with your Spirit. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. Amen.